Hey there, welcome to The Horrible Show. It is Tuesday, December 11th, 2012. We're coming at you live on twitch.tv/horriblenight, just like we always do every Tuesday night. And we are horriblenight.com, and this is the video game podcast. And I am your host, Justin Lacey, coming with me tonight, Josh Lee.
That's correct.
And Coleman Rowe.
Where are you going? Who's coming where?
Anywhere. I don't know what's happened. It's been a long year.
Safety not guaranteed.
It's been a long year, and we are officially gearing up for our Game of the Year discussion, to hand out all of our Grimmy Awards, and that starts with our annual category selection process, which we accumulated up to, let's say, 14 categories last year. We're gonna bump that number up this year and get our chat audience involved to nominate some new categories and see what crazy ideas we come up with.
Spec Ops The Line.
Just a category? I think.
What's the best Spec Ops The Line of the year?
Greatest line of the year.
Spec Ops.
This is what you have to look forward to for the next
Spec
hour.
Spec Ops. So we have to draw the line here.
Spec Ops is
clever
a terrible
puns.
Word. Not so clever. So...
It's Mario time.
Jesus.
This way.
That's my favorite line of the year.
Before the madness begins, though, game industry shout-outs, looking at the headlines around the industry, what has had your attention, Josh?
Oh, I can't believe I debated talking about this because I knew I was going to get a bunch of Rotten Tomatoes or dicks thrown at me, but... I enjoyed the VGAs this year.
The Video Game Awards.
I don't think they say that. I don't know if it stands. No, I don't think it stands for anything.
They never claim that.
For whatever reason, I always watch them. This is Spike TV. I don't know where else it plays. If you're not in the States, I don't know where it plays. But they stream it live on GameTrailers.com now and... I'm sure some other places, but it's always really offensive. It's always just a bunch of celebrities talking about games that don't care about games, and it's always very obvious, like painfully. And they always highlight a bunch of games no one gives a shit about. Mm-hmm. And I'm always offended, like 100% of the time. But you watch it because it's, you know,
on television.
You know, it's a thing. And I was only offended a couple of times, like the whole show, and I was laughing. A lot. Samuel Jackson hosted again. He'd hosted before in the past, but he acted like he wanted to be there. Like he really was, like he seemed very genuine. Now he must have been paid like an obscene amount of money. So that, I'm sure that helped. GameStop was like a big sponsor because there was a lot of like, you know, power to the players. Like, I'm like, oh, that's it. dropping those names. He just constantly was doing that, but it was relatively, unobtrusive. But they had some funny bits, like, because they always have their little their little gamey bits where they the celebrities or whoever gets involved, and it's usually seems like marketing BS, but they had some fun with all the Game of the Year nominees and the best character nominees. So they had some stuff they did where Sam Jackson mode was a thing. So all the Game of the Year nominees got this in-game animated by, like, I mean, this is all in, like, this is the engine, like, for Halo and for Walking Dead and all that.
Oh,
with
shit.
The in-game graphics.
I think I saw a screenshot, yeah.
It was very cool, very impressive. And they had Sam Jackson mode, so they'd show the difficulty selection. It'd be, like, easy, normal, hard, Sam Jackson mode. And Sam Jackson would be in the game as a character model that looked just like he belonged in those
Shit.
Games. His Walking Dead model was fucking awesome. And he would appear, and then, you know, he would just be a badass. And you know, it's all stupid. Let me just get this out of the way. It's all dumb, and it's all spectacle, and it's popcorn bullshit.
It's still an award show.
Yes, and those are dumb. But we do them. Everybody does them. It's okay. It's part of the industry. And you can have fun with it. And I pulled a stick out of my ass, and I had fun with this. And I think other people did too.
Who grew up more, the show or yourself?
Oh, together. We came up together. Maybe they let Jeff Keighley kind of do his thing a little more. producing, because he wasn't there on stage or on camera ever. He was producing, and he I know he worked very hard on it. So I think that he's one of those guys that for all the Doritos Mountain Dew bullshit that he has to, you know, put up with, he still has some integrity. Mm-hmm. So and I think maybe they just like took a step back and was like, you know what? People really trashed us last year, like really, really bad. So maybe we can, you know, they had Valve, like 16 dudes from Valve on stage to accept a game of the decade for Half-Life 2. They had, I mean, The Walking Dead won their game of the year, an adventure game, essentially a point and click adventure game, you know, company. And
can we note that he said game multiple times? For historical reference.
Well, Infinity Blade's a game too, right?
Yeah.
So, probably more so than Walking Dead, but it was pretty good. It was entertaining. They even had I think my favorite bits were the characters for the Character of the Year award. They actually had animations of them too, that like in-game stuff, where like the shepherds.
Both of them?
Yeah, both shepherds. They had which was awesome itself. And both of them and Garrus, and they're all three of them. They have the same camera setup that we've got on our live stream, and they're playing like Xbox Live, and they're talking about it. It's all the voice actors doing the voices and all that. It was really good. So they had that for all the characters. Although the one with Connor was really
good. So why didn't Garrus
really
win?
Yeah, I know. I said, wait, I think you guys fucked up the nomination there.
Best bro.
No, it's all right. I already have that right here. I'm telling you, we're going to use my list. Anyways,
best
truck. Actually, that's on here too, dude. I'm telling you, I have it.
I knew it was. I knew it was. I wasn't suggesting. I was I was just checking to see
if
it was on the list.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, it was fun, and they had some great the trailers. They're gonna have like debut trailers or whatever. It was cool.
That was the only reason to tune in before.
They brought Ken Levine on stage to introduce BioShock Infinite, and they just showed like, I don't know, 3 minutes of gameplay, just like straight a gameplay scene, and
not on the Vita though.
No, but. They just, like, here's Ken Levine with the microphone. He's just talking about BioShock for a minute. And it just seemed really unscripted and, like, really cool. Like he would do maybe at E3, but almost a little more candid.
A few more, like, developers getting the spotlight rather than C-list celebrities getting the spotlight.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, those are probably still there.
I mean, yeah, there's going to be some of that. You know, like Linkin Park came out and played the song they did for Warfighter.
Jesus Christ.
I was like, that was really dumb.
That's what everybody wanted to
see. Yeah, like that was one of the moments where I was a little offended. And then they brought Snoop Lion out. That's used to be Snoop Dogg, if you didn't keep up with that stuff. And he came out, but he had the most ridiculous, like, he had this throne that was, like, Arthas would have been like,
sounds about
damn.
Right.
But he doesn't like rap or anything. He just introduced an award or something like that. But he's like, you know, Lion loves ladies, herb, and fighting games, like Tekken Tag Tournament 2. And then you see the footage of the game, and it's like his like alternate DLC costume or something in the game, because I guess he's in the game.
Sure.
And he's wearing it on stage too.
He does a rap song for that game too.
So he's like you see his character, and then you see him wearing it, and it's just like a quick little thing, and then boom, they're done. But The Last of Us, new trailer for that was awesome. That looks so good. And then The Phantom Pain. That was the big one. Jesse, you haven't seen this? Holy shit.
Is it Dark Souls 2?
No, but they did. That's holy shit. They debuted Dark Souls 2.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That is probably, yeah.
To that audience, that's.
Yes, that's probably the biggest, like, that was. The moment of realization for me was probably it, where it was like, I'm like, Dark Souls? And all the, like, the people they're talking to are going like boners, the game people. And you have to imagine that, like, the average viewer is going to be like, what? What is that? And I love that they just went like, you know what? Real gamers know what this is. It's
awesome.
Good. It's got cred. But
what's the Phantom Pain?
So the Phantom Pain is, they introduced it as it was some new game that we're going to have to wait to play.
Okay.
And, but they don't, it's from a new studio called Moby Dick Studio. And it showed this guy in a hospital, like a VA hospital or something like that, I think. And, he's like a soldier, and you look, and he's got like a hook for a hand. His hand's been amputated and stuff. And,
wait, before you say anything else, what's the founder's name of the studio?
Oh,
you remember?
Joaquim,
Mochim?
Something. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and Mochim. His first name is, what is it? What's it called? An anagram or not anagram. Anagram? Yeah, of Kojima. First of all.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now
and,
I know what you're
talking
about.
Yeah, and then so and you see this guy, this buddy who's like face is all wrapped up in bandages, who's voiced by Kiefer Sutherland, is like, you know, come on, we gotta go, and leads this character through this hospital while these soldiers are coming in, like just shooting dudes, places burning, but all this crazy shit's happening. You see a dude like on fire in a hallway. You see somebody in like a untied straitjacket floating in the air. You see a flaming unicorn. You see a gigantic flaming whale fly through the air and eat a Black Hawk helicopter. Like crazy shit's happening.
Yes.
And like dudes are getting shot in the face and it's brutal and it looks like pretty crazy. The whole time I'm looking at this character and I'm going, everything going on around him, I was kind of, because of the spectacle of it, I was kind of like blind to what I was looking at. But the character, I'm going like, wait a minute. And then at the end, you see his face.
At the end, there's like, war is hell.
And God damn it, it was Snake. It was Big Boss.
Yeah, he's got the mullet. He's got the scar underneath his eye.
I know. I recognize his beard, you know?
I heard a thing. It could be Liquid since he's missing the arm.
Man, there's okay. So this is the point. This is a viral thing. This is Kojima playing
people
games.
People are going insane over this.
But
shit.
Within like an hour, and I was going, wait a minute. And I got on Twitter and I was posting some stuff, and then I couldn't resist. I went on the internet and was looking around. And NeoGAF is full of detectives. They're like internet detective Voltron. They formed up and they figured all this shit out. And Kojima was there. They showed him. They did a little shout out of like, hey, congratulations, Hideo Kojima, for 25 years of Metal Gear, blah, blah, blah. And you see him in like his little VIP seat. And he's like waves and he's chilling. And these guys with the Moby Dick Studio shirts were at the Konami VIP party hanging with Kojima. And one of the dudes was the guy who did all the trailers for all the Metal Gear games since like 2. And it's either Ground Zero's footage or it's Metal Gear 5. Like the logo they showed at the end said it. In the background had Metal Gear V once people like sleuthed it and kind of contrast, you know, did shit. Awesome. Which would be 5 or Vita, maybe. I don't know. This looked way too good to be on Vita.
Don't even.
Hey, you
don't even.
We can play Persona 4 Golden as well.
We can transfer it onto our PlayStation.
You know, you know how much of a sucker I am for Metal Gear, dude.
It's not this generation, is it?
For that to be. On their Moby Dick Studio website, it actually has a PS3 and an Xbox 360 logo, and this did not look next gen at all. So it looked good. It looked good, but yeah, it has to be.
Hey, do you think we're gonna have some kind of while the new systems launch, like still some major games on the existing console?
Man, they have to. The install base is so big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so big.
I underestimate that for sure.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's different when it was different, like with the Wii U, maybe because they're not making Wii games anymore because like people don't give a shit.
Yeah,
but
except for Canadians.
But sales of for games on the 360 and PS3 is still growing, so they're not going to ignore that. And you know, doing something where a game that's on both systems, if it's easy to do that, hopefully they have the games available for you know the older and the new systems. That'd be great. But then again, you can kind of also take away the reason to upgrade. So you know. There's going to be incentive issues there. But anyway, so that was kind of a long-winded thing. But I just want to say the VJs were pretty cool. I wanted to give them their
I
due
mean, I mean, honestly,
credit.
I was out at a holiday party, and it was kind of – I didn't remember if our text conversation actually happened when you were trying to inform me that the VJs were watchable. Because I started thinking back, each year we've had – basically, different writers kind of taking on the VGAs and kind of decrying the whole setup. And yeah. I was kind of, you know, I was ready to come in Monday morning and kind of have a, hey, I got an idea for an article kind of, you know, just speaking out against the VGAs. And that didn't happen. So that's good on them because we've been at the the forefront as far as ones trying to bring down or at least try to help change the VGAs, because good lord. But it sounds like they finally listened a bit. And
absolutely.
I mean, it sounds like they can't really go too much further, right? Like, they needed to find that middle ground where we're not insulted to watch, and they can still, you know, get their advertising money to actually produce the show, because...
Yeah, yeah.
So, Cool.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that again. And I think you can go watch the whole thing on Game Trailers. So yeah. You can catch the rerun. It's worth checking out. It's fun.
Huh. Coleman, what's your game as your shout out?
So for the next 30 minutes, we're going to talk about the Grammys now, another award show. Because it's only fair if we talk about mine for as long as we talked about Josh's.
It was 14 minutes.
Okay, 14 minutes.
Ethan's not here. I took his time. So sue me.
You're just being normal. So for the first time in the 55-year history of the Grammys, which are an award, if people don't know, it's an award ceremony for the music industry, a video game soundtrack has been nominated. The guy who did Journey, his name's Austin Wintory.
Did he also compose the Assassin's Creed 3 soundtrack?
No, that's Jesper Kidd, whatever his name.
Oh,
I think so.
Well, I ask because this is an interjection, not an interruption. There's a difference. There at the VGAs, there was a guy when they said, "Oh, it's a big deal." They like name dropped the Journey Grammy thing. They said, the Journey soundtrack was nominated, or they said a soundtrack was nominated for a Grammy. And then they said, and here is the composer of Assassin's Creed, whatever. And then they played like a medley of stuff. But I thought that was a weird segue to not say, because they didn't say Journey. And then they just had this guy. And I thought, oh, maybe it's made it sound like that was the dude, but they were just announcing his bigger work or something like that. I thought it was just a weird thing.
I don't think it is. In the article I'm looking at right now, they would have mentioned
just awkward is all.
Yeah, so,
get him, chat.
Oh, and there's another thing I wanted. I'm just kidding.
So he's a 28-year-old dude. So he's nominated with like Howard Shore, Hans Zimmer, John Williams, some pretty famous film composers.
And come on,
Howard Shore,
Trent Reznor. That's what we're really building up to, right?
Oh, I don't. His name wasn't listed in this thing.
Girl with Dragon Tattoo soundtrack. Okay. That's on there.
And Trent.
That was
Reznor.
Trent Reznor.
Yeah. Motherfuckers all playing.
So I think that's really cool. It's kind of neat that a video game soundtrack is in the same category with films. The category that it's in is best score soundtrack for visual media. So they're clumping games in there now, which is awesome. And then his next project, wait for it, is the remake of the adult adventure game Leisure Suit Larry.
So hopefully that'll come out in 2013. And he can get nominated again next year.
He'll be rocking some porno.
I upvoted that on Greenlight.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
You're part of the problem.
That was the first time I saw digital boobies.
It's a big moment.
Yeah.
Everyone remembers their first time.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a step forward. I like it. I didn't realize. I guess there had been a video game song that had won before. But this is the first soundtrack that had been nominated. And I felt really bad because Aaron and I both played through Journey. And, man, I really got caught up in my experience. But the music is so fitting and atmospheric that I didn't notice it. So I'm trying to turn that into a compliment. But I don't know. We started our best soundtrack category last year. And I was like, oh, man, I wish Bastion was at a point where they could have gotten nominated, but this kind of at least opens the door. And Journey's a great choice for it. So does that mean we have to make that win ours? Like, is that to remain? Because
the Grammys
category on ours.
Grammy sounds like Grimmies.
May have had something to do with it.
Another thing is stealing our shit again.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a shout out. I was a little worried.
Make it quick, Lacey. Jesus.
I was a little worried that one of these Kickstarters that we've got a little bit of personal preference for, the Sports Friends Kickstarter.
I was worried about this.
It was struggling last week. Yeah. But they did cross their goal, I think, yesterday. And Sports Friends for those that have watched any of our streaming nights or our charity marathon, all you need to know is that Super Pole Riders is coming as part of this package.
Yes.
And congratulations.
We're gonna play the shit out of that.
Congratulations to the Sports Friends category. But also, it's local multiplayer gaming, which is something we're mm-hmm. a huge fan of. Mm-hmm. It's got Johann Sebastian Joust, which I've tried to describe. How do I describe this? It's like musical chairs with PlayStation Move controllers plus, like, football.
It's like
wrestling. Like, the objective is, if I get this right, like, you have to hold your Move controller as still as possible and try to jostle the controller of another person. Like, this isn't actually played on the screen, but it's using the Move controllers. Look up the YouTube videos.
And you have music. To see
it. Yeah, and I think it is music.
There's a musical component, I guess.
All I know is somebody described it that way, and they said that they won by picking up a chair and throwing it at a person.
Yeah.
So it can get violent. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a couple other, like I said, local multiplayer sports kind of based mm-hmm. games. Hawkrow, which I did an article on, is just very simplistic, kind of reminded me of one of the games you'd see on, like, American Gladiators, where you have to basically carry a ball back to your zone and somebody else is trying to steal it. But just bring back local multiplayer and anything that
I think it's called Ball Grab is the translation.
Maybe. Is it really?
Thunderball.
Probably.
Yeah.
Shut up. And then Super Pole Riders. But it's
a... World kind of Hogan's!
What?
What?
What did you just say?
I said more Hulk Hogan's. Legend. Oh. No more remembered or Hulk Hogan
right on.
From the charity marathon.
Plenty of Hulk Hogan corpses across the pole riders field.
Yeah.
But these are like independently developed local multiplayer games. Very, very tough sell for publishers. And they found a way to kind of bring these all together, and they'll be coming out for PS3, PC, and I think some other platforms as well. But
that's awesome.
The Kickstarter is a success, and we'll hopefully get to play those next year.
I think Super Pole Riders is going to change the face of esports. Like, people are going to look in like a year from now, you're going to look at esports, and you're not going to think of StarCraft. You're going to think of League of Legends. You're going to think of pole. You're going to think about riding another man's pole to victory by putting your ball in his hole.
I look forward to seeing who excels as pole rider commentary people. Mm. If you can master the art of...
Oh, gosh.
The clever pun.
It is, yeah. It's a subtle art. It's difficult, but...
And you have to sell it, too. It's not like you can just throw it out there and laugh at your own shit. You got to sell it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we've done this twice already. I don't know what how we did, but from the outside...
We've done our part.
But, yeah. Did you see this other? There's another game that was kind of in the news, unrelated, but it was it's another one of those games that doesn't use a screen. You use the Kinect and a projector, and the Kinect reads you and these objects on, like, on the floor, these, like, little tower bits, these, like, rectangular blocks, and the projector projects, like, basically a spotlight across this play field, and you have to run around and pick up these objects and move them out of the spotlight. But when the spotlight hits you, like your person, you have to freeze in place so it doesn't see you. Have you seen this?
No.
It's this company's taking it around to, like, shows, you know, and conventions and art shows and all this kind of stuff, showing this thing off. But using this technology for a game that you're not playing on a screen, I think is awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's Johann Sebastian Jospin has... What is? I think I probably heard about it like 3 or 4 years ago.
You see it at PAX?
It was at PAX, and they've been in talks with Sony to try to bring it to the PS3, but it just never worked out. But so for them to just try to get a creative way to actually get this game out in the world, that Kinect game would actually fit in with that as well. But
yeah.
Like doing other things with the technology, and Kickstarter can help give them a way to actually get to an audience. That's pretty cool.
Like, I want to play digital online Twister with my Kinect, you know? I want to be able to play Kinect with other grown men on the internet. Or I want to play Twister with other men.
Turning into 3D Sexville, too.
Hey, you know what? I want it to be like a 3D model. I don't want to see the guy's camera. I want the game to model him in 3D. So if there is a penis, it's just like polygons. So I can't be scared of it.
Jeez. Hey Cole, you
don't feel this
Cole,
way?
You want to take us to horrible shoutouts? What's had your attention on horriblenight.com?
Oh shit! I don't even know after that virtual penis talk.
Virtual penis talk.
Justin wrote a review for Assassin's Creed 3, and
it hurt me a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of painful to read. It's not like it's written terribly.
Set the bar high.
It's the game. Like, you know, we all had high hopes for the third.
We essentially recorded a hype podcast for it.
You did.
We were up on it.
Yeah, and so it was hard to see that the game, it didn't turn out as well as we might have thought or had built our hype package towards. But yeah, if you're on the fence, don't read the review, because you're gonna be off the fence real quick. Because it's just, I don't know, it's just, for me, it was like I was excited to play in that part of history, like you talked about, Justin, and the revolution and everything, and then to read that and how it didn't seem like you had a lot of fun with the side quest part of the game, and all the parts of the game you had talked about before were just kind of disjointed, where you could definitely see the seams of the different studios working on each part of the game. So I was kind of disappointed to find out that the game, you know, was that poorly made, I guess. And even though there's some good parts, like you think like the value of the game is definitely there in terms of content.
There's a lot there, but a lot of it's good.
Not put together that well.
Yeah, I kept trying to find something to hang my hat on in the game, and I mean the closest I came to was just how thrilling the naval battles actually are. But overall, I never saw where they actually fit in, even when they try to fit it into the story. It's just like I've said it before on I think previous shows. I was like, there's no way that he is this master assassin and also just an amazing ship captain. Like, he's just it's so bizarre. It's so frustrating, because I will also say that like my first 6 to 8 hours with the game, man, I was high up on it. I think Josh and I had an early conversation about it.
What if it was a canoe and not a,
you know, there is no giant ship. I saw a screenshot of Connor in a canoe. I never rode in a canoe.
Mm.
So there's that against it too.
Mm.
So there's no carving out a log canoeing in the game.
No, you do have loggers on your homestead. Which, if anybody could find a use for the homestead, please let me know. It's
where you settle down and make babies.
Yeah, it was. I was just trying. I struggled with like how much do you hold against this game that it never crosses that line to greatness, but it flirts with it so much and then just falls apart and falls all over itself. Like every time I was riding high, something, either a glitch would happen that would just take me out of the moment, or just there would just be no climax to the scene or to the mission that I'm doing, and I just kept waiting for a payoff and the game was over. And it was very, very difficult, because this was the game that I invested my time in this fall, as I think this has game of the year potential for me, and I wanted to see it through. And now all I feel, I look around at these other games I haven't played, and I feel like I placed my bets wrong. And and this is coming from somebody that I loved every side mission in Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood. I ate those games up. Like, I wanted to learn Italian. Like, I told my girlfriend that just randomly, and that was, I mean, she stuck with me, but that's how into these games I was. And now you're throwing the American Revolution at me, and I couldn't be more excited for it. And then I just, as time went on, I just got more and more disappointed in the game. So
depressing.
Sorry.
I feel bad for you. Like, we need to Cole, we need to come up with a list of games for Justin to play now that do let him climax. I can tell you right now, Far Cry 3, Mass Effect 3. Those games let you climax.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I can think of for this year, but...
Multiple climaxes in Mass Effect 3.
What? Oh, you did? Wow.
I think so. So.
Oh, that's
getting real personal.
What's a guy's name?
No, that's not, by, not where I was going. Garrus?
Wing Commander guy.
Hey Josh. Hamill? Josh.
What's your, the movie.
What's your horrible shout out?
Well, should I change it? It's really one of Ethan's.
No, we can
things.
Talk. We can talk about him, but let's get real with it too.
Man.
Let's get rid of the just like the adoration for him. But let's go ahead and
Okay. So Ethan had this little interview. I didn't know anything about it. I saw it appear on the site. Like, what? When did he do this? With Michael Stearns, the creator behind Tiny Barbarian DX. This is well, he made Tiny Barbarian, which is a game you can go play now. And but he has this Kickstarter going for Tiny Barbarian DX. He's just turning, you know, he's polishing it and adding a bunch of content and stuff. It's a really cool looking, I don't know, retro inspired action platformer, side scrolling kind of thing. You play a guy that's like basically Conan. And there's a lot of those, a lot of like little references and things in it, and it looks awesome. It looks so good. It looks like Magic Sword, maybe that'd be like the closest analog. So, Ethan had this little interview with the dude. It was awesome. It was like an hour, and the guy just was, you know, he got him to kind of open up, talk about games in general, and the project, and what it's like to develop, and
Some insight behind Kickstarter and Steam Greenlight.
Yep. All that stuff. Yeah, that's all really good. And I've heard these things before from other developers, but to me, it's always interesting to hear somebody who is and well spoken enough. You know, like Mr. Sturges was easy to listen to. Not everybody always is. I don't think. I'm not talking about people we've interviewed,
sure.
But other sites and whatnot.
Yeah, not every developer is like.
Socially adept.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. Some dudes are, you know, just.
Well, yeah, he had a lot of good ideas about green light and everything too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And there was a funny one moment where Ethan was talking about the indie game, the movie, and asked him about it, and he says, "Well, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm kind of afraid to because I'm afraid that it'll like deflate me or I don't know, I can't remember what his words, but basically it would really drag him down because, you know, like Ethan said, in the interview that movie was kind of depressing when you saw besides Edmund McMillan, like everyone else was pretty
heavy.
Like, yeah, real heavy, very, very, very invested emotionally in these projects. And when things weren't going their way, it was hide the razors. And so it was kind of funny to hear Michael say like, no, I don't really, I don't know if I want to watch that just for that reason. It could put me in that state. He's just kind of trying to focus on that and stuff. And this is a guy with a day job who's working on this game in his free time. And he's actually like getting it done. And that is something that I have so much respect for because I wish I had that drive because that requires a level of motivation on a daily basis that is rare. Most people do not have it. And that some of these people do, and then also just happen to have a really creative mind and a sense of humor. Like that's just a rare combination. So I thought it was awesome. I can't wait to play the finished product. It looks like he's gonna meet his Kickstarter goal.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he blows past it.
Still well.
So that was pretty cool. Great interview.
Ethan sounded like a journalist, or like, and I've always enjoyed kind of his. Man, he still has his like kind of random questions because he gets the personality out of the developers, but
he drew the information out of him.
And apparently, this was actually we cut it down to an hour, but it's a 2-hour interview.
Oh, really?
So
wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Michael's a really good sport, so we thank him and Starkwell Games for. Talking with us and Ethan put together a nice piece and we're hopefully look forward to some more indie developer interviews next year.
Yeah, good stuff.
My shout out, let's see, actually goes to Ethan as well. We talked a bit about this on Super Gaming Best Friends, but Ethan wrote a reflex review of Far Cry 3, and included in that was we've been talking a lot about our YouTube channel and what type of content we want to put up on there, and he put together basically kind of a highlight reel of his favorite style of kills, or for lack of a better term, in Far Cry 3. It's a highlight reel of the different ways he's killed things, and it's like 3 to 5 minutes. You know, I've never really gotten much out of video reviews, and we've talked a lot about potentially doing those. We kind of do more of our off the cuff reflex review videos and Game Curious videos, but as far as like a true review video, it just has never seemed like our style. But we did want some complimentary, supplementary content for our written reviews, and I think Ethan kind of hit it out of the park with this one. And it gives you a good flavor of what to expect from Far Cry 3, and it is also kind of entertaining to watch because that open world is very, very well put together and very alive.
And it gets zany. It gets really zany at times.
Zany tigers.
Goddamn. Just like you can go hunting with a car. How many games can you say that about? Not many.
Dead Island.
No, there's no animals in Dead Island.
You can hunt zombies.
But I'm talking about like the entire animal kingdom is fair game.
No, no pun there. Fair game.
Yeah, you can kill a shark with a truck.
Why is that not our box quote? Like, how
best game you could kill a shark with a truck I think of that the year sells, is
I think that sells a large percentage of people. If you put that game, you can kill a shark with a truck.
Yes.
A lot of eyes and ears perk up.
You can't even do that in Saints Row. Think about that. Something you can't do in Saints Row.
I don't like to put limits on Saints Row, so can we not talk about that?
Sure. Is that up for Game of the Year this year?
I think so, yeah. I mean, sure. I think, was it Fred McDonald? I think he's up for character.
Frank McDonald, yeah.
He's up for character
of the year. Horrible Night character of the year.
That brings us to our Grimmy nomination discussions for 2012. I want to kick this off with, that fucking game came out this year. And looking back at the first two quarters of the year, because it's been a while. We've been talking a lot about the more recent releases, especially I feel like the last 3 to 4 months are kind of fresher in our mind. So I've got a couple calendars up here and want to just kind of remind you guys of a few of the games, and then we'll start developing our categories from there. So let's see what was kind of happening here.
Star Wars Angry Birds.
Yeah, that's on there, but that was not early, and that's not the first half of the year.
I'm just naming
games that are really important.
You're not helping me.
Okay.
Let's see. Never Dead. Mutant Muds does count this year. That was a 3DS release this year. That's important to note. It was because there's some of those games you don't know. Was mm-hmm. that end of 2012? Mm-hmm. Especially the
Old Republic, I think, was after our awards last year, right?
No, Old Republic was still in December.
It was in our...
Yeah, we did not... So it would be eligible this year, because we could... We said...
Yeah,
we...
that's what... Yes. Right, that's yes. what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Dust Force. Downloadable games are going to be... It's going to be a big discussion.
Oh, man. That's important for the soundtrack.
Yes. Good point. Let's see here. So I'm going through January. The Darkness 2. That was a big February release. And at that time, I chose Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning. That might have some disappointment wrapped around it as far as like franchises that... Big, man, saddest franchise story of the year. Let's see. Shank 2. Gotham City Impostors. Stop Me If You Care. Twisted Metal.
Oh shit! That was
that was a Valentine's gift for a lot of people.
Like me.
Oh, Dear Esther was this year. It was a couple, spawned a good checkpoint.
Wow, so long ago.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Now, Alan Wake for PC, I'm not counting these late PC releases. Azure's,
so Dark Souls is not on the list.
Right. Azure's Wrath. Syndicate. Did you have interest in playing Syndicate? I've kind of gotten that itch of...
You know what? I'm going to buy it during the holiday sales because Amazon always has it for $7. And I'm going to buy just like 4 copies and I'm just going
to... I'll pop it up with that shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Look forward to that on the stream sometime in the future. This is wrong, but I wanted to bring it up because it's really sad. WWE WrestleFest did not come out in February.
God damn it. You know, it actually has a release
next week,
date.
Right?
Next week, yeah. Next week. It has. It's going to come out.
Do we want to give it a preemptive award?
Yeah. Okay. Sure. I think we
game
could.
We look forward to all year, but couldn't actually play yeah. that.
So
kept teasing us
we,
every month.
Are we mentioning a like a remake, re-release that comes on a different platform as a new game?
Like what?
Be specific.
Like what? Cave Story Plus.
Oh. Was Ocarina 3D this year?
Last year. Came out sure. release of 3DS.
Well, I would count the polygonal Cave Story, but not the sprite-based one. Because that was actually...
Yeah, that was on Steam already.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Cave Story 3D
Although, if you were going... If... I'm not saying we would have this, but if we had some kind of, like, eShop thing, awards thing or something, that would have to be considered.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know... Is that going to happen?
I was wondering.
I don't know.
Alan Wake's American Nightmare, but downloadable category is going to fill up. And we got to also figure out how the hell to split that up.
Should I ask about games or should I wait? Because I don't want to forget that.
Let me get through. Okay. Let me get through March here. I'm still in February.
Oh.
So.
Oh God.
There's lots of.
Oh,
PS Vita.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. February was a big month. February is a big one.
It's gonna be worse next year.
Binary Domain.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to regret that one. SSX.
Pinball FX2. Marvel Tables.
We'll count it.
Marvel.
We'll count it. The way that platform works, we'll count it. Vessel. That was a... Penny Arcade Expo game I liked. Let's see. Major League Baseball 2K12. Mass Effect 3. Might have heard that one. Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Fighter Cross Mega Man Cross Street Fighter.
That's next week. I Am Alive. Journey.
Oh, gosh. Yes. I haven't played that.
You guys
might I'm going to, though.
I haven't played that either.
2 hours of your time.
I promise I will play it before next whatever.
That's the other reason for this discussion. So we've got about a week and a half to 2 weeks to figure out our final list. So it's getting down the wire here. Shoot Mini Robots, Silent Hill Downpour.
Oh, that was this year?
Man. Ninja Gaiden 3.
Damn.
Ethan's Game of the Year, Resident Evil, Operation Raccoon City. Silent Hill HD Collection won't win the right awards, but it could be up for some other shitty awards. Angry Birds Space. Just doing that for Josh's facial reactions. Thanks. Cinemora.
Yeah.
Kid Icarus Uprising.
Oh.
Tiger Woods. Ooh, Wrecked Revenge.
There's a game with Climax.
South Park Tenderman's Revenge. All right, that takes us through March. Yeah, I've got a couple more months I want to cover, but let's throw out some. What are you worried about that we're going to miss?
No, actually, you covered the ones I was thinking of.
All right, I'm going to take
us Binary Domain.
Yeah, and take us through June here. Blacklight Retribution kind of opens up. Something I want to revisit is what are we doing about these free-to-play games?
Did they release? Could you buy it? Could you buy it this year?
Not
pre-order. Can you buy it and play it? Like PlanetSide 2, if it was not officially out yet,
right? I'm not worried about the. I'm worried about how we organize them. Like not more of define whether it was released this year. I'm more concerned about like classifying them and.
Well, it's a game. I mean, it should still go in there.
Connect Star Wars.
You know, I think it should. Yeah, like the Secret World. I'm sure that's gonna get win something.
Lollipop Chainsaw.
Best bro job.
Legend of Grimrock. That was this year.
Yeah.
Tribes Ascend.
Oh gosh, man.
Fez.
Let's see. Name it some. There's some. This list is getting quality.
Do we count The Witcher 2? It was a console release.
No.
Okay.
No.
Just
absolutely not.
Trials Evolution.
Yes.
Prototype 2. Wow. I didn't realize that. Walking Dead Episode 1 came out in April.
So much for that release schedule. Actually, it's not. It's pretty good.
They did pretty.
Yeah,
good.
They did well. I shouldn't trash that.
Minecraft Xbox Live Arcade Edition has a different name.
No,
I'm kidding. We barely squeezed that in last year.
Although the sales figures on that are insane.
Yeah,
have you seen that?
They sell like 20,000-30,000 copies a week still.
Yeah,
it's Jesus sick. Christ.
It's disgusting.
Battleship.
Shut up. Get out of here.
Oh, that was released same day as Diablo 3.
Oh, that game.
Yeah. Pixel Junk 4AM. Sonic the Hedgehog 4 Episode 2.
Did you play that?
No.
Did you play the Episode 1?
No.
I did.
Okay.
Good.
I don't have anything to say about it, though.
I know where you're going with that. Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah. Oh. I'm just joking.
That's game number 4.
Mr. Dave's game.
That's
of the
a climax.
Climax game.
Sorcery. Get some PlayStation Move games in there.
It.
Really? That can't be right. Oh, never mind. The expansion to Binding of Isaac. I was a little confused there for a minute. Last month we're into June here. Max Payne 3, which I never finished.
I bought that. I have it on PC, so I'm gonna play it on PC. I have games to play, don't I?
Lego Batman 2, Steel Battalion Heavy Armor, Quantum Conundrum.
Worst game ever.
Penny Arcade Adventures Episode 3, Spec Ops The Line. I think that'll do. The Secret World starts to lead into July. So
God.
That was the first 6 months of the year.
Wow. I didn't realize. Like, you forget, like, just how many games. I sit there and look back at the year and I go, I don't know. I could name like 10 games that I could remember. And then I'm writing down the ones that were notable to me and not complete pieces of shit or were so bad.
Yeah.
And need another page here.
Yeah, I always start my list as the memorable for a positive reason games. And then,
yeah.
There are plenty of reasons to bring up the memorable for negative reason games,
sure.
Too. So, all right. That brings us to... I want to start off with the... reviewing our existing categories and seeing if we want to retire any of these. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yes.
With sure. Sure. I guess. I don't know.
Let's see here. New character of the year. I think yay votes, nay votes. I'm a yay on that one.
I mean, is this going to be including characters such as Mr. Dave?
Orban Light character of the year?
Yeah.
That's can't even be a category. Unless you're just going to give the Mr. Dave Award. Because Mr. Dave has been in more games than there are total characters that we've made.
Do we rename this as the Mr. Dave Award?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
All right.
Dude, he's immortal now.
Progress.
Again, yeah. I mean.
Yeah. The Mr. Dave Award.
I like anything that highlights new IPs. Or new stuff. In general, stuff.
Do you want a new franchise? Should we look to see if we've got 5 to 8 possibilities for new franchises?
I'm just trying to think of off the top of your head. You got Dishonored. What else?
Yeah. Well, you got. It has to be like new IP or something. You could say franchise, I guess, but some of these games aren't going to be a franchise. But stuff that like and that just kind of includes IP, any game that isn't a sequel at that point, though.
Yeah.
Which that's so I think it's a weird category.
We'll have plenty of those. We'll have plenty of that though.
I think that's a weird one to have as its own category because
I think we try to do it with that we think a sequel's coming or it's an obvious.
I know we did. It just was I thought that was weird.
Okay.
I struggled with it.
Okay.
Because it was a weird like we're trying to play Crystal Ball too, and it's weird.
Soundtrack of the year.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Story of the year. We want to keep separating the narrative.
Absolutely.
Our Gamers United Award, which was the more like an award for an accessible game that we want to promote. Winner last year was
Fruit Ninja. So like a mainstream kind of game.
Yeah, Fruit Ninja Connect was the winner last year.
What got it in 2010?
We did not have it in 2010. Mm. It was a new category last year.
Yeah, sure.
Comeback of the year. I off the top of my head, I couldn't think of any.
Mortal Kombat was 2010.
Yeah. So I'm gonna put a question mark next to that to see if we have enough. That'll also be the second decision is if we have enough to fill out that category.
Yeah.
Steady sequel of the year.
Yeah.
I think we still got enough for those.
Yeah, we do definitely.
Proud to be a video game award. I think that encapsulates our site a little bit. Competitive multiplayer game of the year.
Sure.
Co-op game of the year. Indie developer.
I think co-op game could be split into couch and online.
Yeah.
Local and online. Because those are completely different experiences. And those games don't necessarily cross over.
Well, that gives us three multiplayer.
Yeah. I think that's.
Well, I mean. Yeah.
Those are just
way different. How do you separate Halo 4? Because we played that locally, but I also consider a good online co-op.
Well, yeah, but you may say like my personal opinion of that would be I have way more fun playing that, like on a couch or local. Online is really good co-op, but I don't have any desire to play that game with, you know, random dudes online. So for me, like I think that experience is kind of like meh, you know, meh. It's you lump it in there with Call of Duty. But that game also has like really fun kind of local stuff, and especially the co-op.
I could see competitive multiplayer game of the year. I could see co-op game of the year. I could see local multiplayer game of the year. Because I think that emphasizes a different feature. Because there's too much overlap between co-op game and local co-op game.
Absolutely. Yeah, a local multiplayer game can be, yeah. It's like Mario Brothers Wii.
Yeah.
Wii U, whatever.
Depending on how you play
that's
that.
That's co-op and competitive at the same time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Indie Developer of the Year, Mobile Game of the Year. These all seem pretty solid. I lost a few.
I heard somebody use a different term for downloadable. It was they had a different term for that award.
I'm going to come back to downloadable stuff because that is a daunting category.
I don't remember what they called it.
Pulling up our other list here.
That's good.
I know I'm missing some.
We should just have price categories for those awards.
That's how we broke it down. We didn't Yeah, it was essentially a low price point and a mid-level price point. So that was the...
You're seeing more clever names.
Bottle caps and coins is what I came up with.
Yeah, we need new names.
So, The Binding of Isaac was...
It's cute.
The lower level, and then Bastion won the second level. So, here we go. Okay, we've also got the Not Entertained Award, which is our Underachiever of the Year. And the BFG award for the Overachiever of the Year. Not necessarily the greatest game, but like you, a game that just did some unexpected and fun things that weren't necessarily asked of it. So, the Infinite Lives Award, which is the game from, this year, the game from 2011 that we kept playing in 2012. And then the the queued up award is the game from 2012 that we think, this is the predictory one, that we think we'll be playing the most in.
What did we give it to last year?
Skyrim.
Yeah, that's probably, for me, that holds true.
All right, those are our existing awards. It seems like we're pretty happy with that list. That gives us...
Looks like we've got about 20 more to add here of my list.
Okay. Josh, since you've done some research, why don't you...
Let me go through my list here?
Let's throw out some.
Okay, all right. Okay, best gun.
Best gun?
Mm-hmm.
Were there...
A weapon. I think it's a...
All the guns in Borderlands?
It's a... Well...
Would they get lumped into one?
They're... Yeah. Actually, no, because you would have... Those are kind of specific enough, and at least in little categories, you could say, like, I really love the torque weapons or whatever. So, but I think that's one of those things where you could have a game that really kind of sucks, but it has, like, the best fucking weapon, like Red Faction, like, Armageddon or something
like
that.
Yeah, as long as it's best weapon or best tool.
Like, yeah.
I don't want to let
it... But it actually says best guns with a Z on my
sheet. Also... That's true.
Okay. best Brosif.
Brosif?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, there's no competition in it, but I think I'd get behind that.
Non-player character you want to kill the most.
That's great.
NPC dick of the year? Wait, that's a different category.
Connect Twister. best digital butt.
Sorry, I was thinking that the Red Dead horse won that award a couple years ago. What'd you say?
There were Brumax that year too. Best digital butt.
No.
Is that also called the Mr. Dave Award?
It's also called the Frank McDonald Golden Buns Award. best game that won't get a sequel.
Yeah.
And worst game that will.
Yes.
Okay. Best menu music. Title menu.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Keep it going.
Nintendo's products.
like Crysis 2 would have got it. That would have taken it for me when that came out.
What's that? Oh, yeah, that game was awesome. That music
Was so good.
I'm partial to Blops 2's.
Yeah.
Blops 2 is really good, too.
Yes, yeah. And there's a bunch of these. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Best trucks.
I have to write it down.
Okay.
With a Z?
No. But trucks is all capital letters.
Does that Lego Undercover game come out this year?
Next year, I think.
I think it's 2016.
Spring, or Q1, I think. Okay. Does it have trucks in it?
I'm assuming. Lego trucks.
Bill Jones trucks. Yeah. Oh. Can I do my own vroom sound? Record my own vroom sounds?
There's a microphone on that Wii Pad.
Best game called Binary Domain?
I didn't write that one down.
Best charming indie retro platformer?
There's enough. There's like
there's 50, enough.
50 games. Okay, that leads me to, like, not necessarily this, but, like, I want to find, like, a defining trend. Do we want to pick one of those? Like, defining trend of 2012. Might be trucks, but...
For us, it would be, but, yeah, that's... I don't know what this is. The hottest Steam sale, or hottest sale. It's a Steam Holiday Award. I mean, I got, because I know I personally got, like, I got so many fantastic games for, like, dirt ass cheap. And it's cool because so many places are doing it now. Everybody's trying to, like, one up each other on, especially with PC gaming. But even, like, during Black Friday, that whole weekend, you could get all those like new games, like Most Wanted, Dishonored, all that shit was $30. Like, all of it. That was insane. All the new ones. Best trailer.
Best hype package?
Yeah, best hype package, really. Best water effects.
Oh, come on.
Most explosions.
Wait, are you just playing Far Cry 3 now? What are you doing?
No, these are all, these are not in any particular order. Best hand grenades. Okay, and here's the deal. Every game has fucking hand grenades. But some of them, like, take it, like, above and beyond. And some of them do better than others. You know, a lot of people, I feel like they just write it in. You know, they're like, they're just, like, phoning it in. They're going,
I'm gonna,
let's make it bounce twice, and it's going to make a little round explosion. And other people go, you know what? This needs to blow your fucking speakers out. And, okay, so.
Okay, I'm going to interject while you.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some stuff from chat. Best game without zombies.
Without zombies. There's only like three games for that. I don't think we have enough games for the category.
Best outfit. Best outfit.
Hmm. Huh. Yeah, fashion award.
Best Tomahawk like game.
Fashion award.
Tomahawk, best, Tomahawk has to get nominated. That's the one thing I can carry through.
Wait. Wait, okay, so the next one is best facial hair mod. I think that should be best hair mod in general, because I found some great chest hair mods for Skyrim this year.
He also mentioned best finish kills.
Best finishers?
Yeah.
Best snuggle trucks? No.
Best
struggle fucks?
Best stabs. The stabbiest stabs award. Stabbiest stabs? Yes?
About the stabbiest stab my cat.
I think you stole Ethan's cat.
I don't
have a pigeon over here.
Best non-gaming app on a gaming console.
You're an ass.
The heaviest drop.
Best cat in a podcast. Heaviest drop?
Yeah.
Timely.
Most realistic depiction of a human relationship.
Whoa, that's actually kind of deep and interesting. Fuck you.
Yeah, and the way you described it made it not so at all.
As holiest physics.
I like the holiest. Yeah.
It's pretty good. The Co-op Couples Award.
What, is that like best a horrible, is that a horrible night?
Best co-op game to play with your significant other.
Oh.
Game that you would put your dick in award.
Oh. Specific. Oh, best toilet game.
Oh, hey.
Best plops game.
Yeah, the plop award.
Sponsored by the Poopcast.
The Poopcast award.
That's all I got. That's it. That's all my...
That was impressive, Josh.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
Cole, did you get anywhere?
No.
I had like 50 and you had zero. You lazy bastard.
Honestly, didn't know we were supposed to do that. I took the Ethan road on this thing.
I like. Well,
no, you didn't. You showed up.
Oh,
snap.
I do like the toilet award, because that is one that always kind of eludes me. It's like trying to find that game that you can.
We could rename the Mobile Game of the Year award. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Free to play game of the year. Is this the year to initiate that?
Sure.
I still think on the trends side, like, do we have enough things that we've noticed this year that, let's kind of talk through that a little bit, because I'm bored with it.
Like, do you have things in mind already?
I don't know. Like, you know, wasn't this E3 the year of the bow? Was that the joke?
Yeah, but I mean, did all those games come out?
No, that was it.
Like, Tomb Raider's not out.
But I mean, I think, was this the zombiest year? That type of thing.
Yeah. Oh my god. It feels like it. I don't know that it is, but it feels like it. But I think it's just I think when we look at the list, I think you'll find that for the most part, it's just like there's just a steady release schedule of them. I don't think it's that this particular year they were oversaturating.
Is this the best year without an awesome game?
No.
Yeah, is there any one standout like game, like a Skyrim, or what did we do the year before, like a Mass Effect 2? Well, is any of those games like?
That's not fair because
this is a more contentious year for us, I feel.
Okay,
but I also haven't got to that point in my I have not shut the doors yet. I have not started to weigh these games against each other, or I think I have like a top 20 in my head, but I really don't know what the order is going
to
be.
Let me try to put into words what I think all of us have been feeling for a while, but we haven't talked about it.
Okay,
and that is that it seems like this year most of us have been disappointed or lukewarm more often than we have maybe in the past about the biggest releases.
Sure.
And we've maybe been, but we've been just as hot as ever on some of the smaller ones. But it seems like there were almost fewer of those that surprised us. So therefore, overall, I think we have a just sort of a...
Maybe...
It's like a good year, but not great.
Maybe we might actually have more good games this year, like as far as like just the quantity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, but I also
like
think
maybe a higher average, but nothing is
standing
A plus
tall over everything else.
Right. Right. And I think it's been a solid year, but I think last year was the beginning of this because I think some of us were disappointed in our biggest games, like even like a Skyrim or Batman. There were plenty of us that were kind of not super hot on those games, even though some of us were. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be the same thing this year. I think some of those big games ended up being some of the ones that, like, the thing, like, we thought Assassin's Creed 3 going to be great, you know, and turns out you didn't really like it all that much. Or, so you take the games we really did enjoy, like a Dishonored or an XCOM. Those games are, I loved them. They're great. But I feel like there was still room for something to come in and knock those out of the top spot.
I feel like every one of them, along the way, I have something major to hold against everyone. Like, I feel there's like an obvious room for improvement that somebody, and I don't know if that happened.
I don't know.
So, chat's been doing all right here. Do we want to do, we might open up, if we do a best article from Horrible Night, I might do that after the beginning of the year, but, and leave that up to vote from the community. I might like suggest articles from each author. And put together a best of list, because I do like to do that. I do like to have a best of the year in January. I don't like that to get in the way of our game stuff, but that's a good idea. Some other ideas while we're here. Best 5-minute game or best like short burst game, because there are multiple writers on Horrible Night that talk about that we always have our kind of filler game. And I think
I always have one in my rotation.
What do I want to call that?
I'm
gonna call it best filler for now, but I'll give it a more complimentary name.
Sure.
So that's a good idea.
Does that overlap the best plop game though?
Yes,
kind of does. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the game I'm playing while I'm trying to figure out what game I'm gonna play.
But but I can't play Binding of Isaac on the toilet.
Right.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I have not yet installed a computer in my bathroom.
Because Reggie is scared.
So is this the best filler game? Is the best game to play while watching TV?
Yeah.
For me, it is, oh shit, I've got 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, for me, it's like the 15 minute war because I've got a little bit of time to kill, and it's, for me, it's always like a very specific amount of time.
Game closest to heroin. We are doing the best story. Do we want to do the worst story or worst story that takes itself too seriously?
There's got to be a name for the dumbest story that we've ever seen, and we can name it after a character or something like that, or a game.
But it has to be.
But there,
I don't want like
It's an absurdity kind of thing, or is it just like poorly written?
I was going more with the poorly written. I like to reward the absurdly written that ends up being like your accidentally entertaining award,
like Deadly Premonition.
Yeah,
that kind of.
I don't think that one's dumbest story though. Like, I think that's different. Like, they accidentally... It probably does, if I think about it. But...
I mean, Lollipop Chainsaw, you know, that's like... really dumb. Twisted Metal's really, really dumb. Hmm.
I've been playing for how long award? The One More Turn Award. It's a classic.
Can't put it down. That's your heroin game. Yeah, there's something to be said for the games that we come back to often.
Along the same lines, I don't know if we do roguelike, or I want to try to expand it. It might be roguelike, but like...
Well, maybe that's... Is that a difficulty thing?
I'm trying to get at the game that you don't mind dying a bunch at, like the Spelunkies.
The respawn award, you know, like something like the yeah, like... It's like a
are we going to have enough replay. Games from this year for
oh,
that?
Yeah, and I think where Justin's going with this is it's the indie games.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many, there are like, just, okay, the most of the games on this list that I've got right here are the, AAA-ish kind of games, like really big games, or the ones that should have gotten that much marketing attention, but there are so many indie games that like, you know, a game like FTL, or even like Grimrock, stuff like that, where I'm not going to dump 100 hours into them, but for like, you know, spending $10, just I got so much for my money.
Value of the year.
Well, yeah, but it's really what it really comes down to is like we have so many more games to choose from for all these awards, but yeah. There are half of them that almost can't compete on a production level, which is what a lot of these awards are going to fall, like they'll be kind of gauged by almost. Right. So I don't feel like it's fair to like have all these games just sitting out there just going like, look at me, and we're going like, Assassin's Creed, motherfucker. Like, I don't want to be like, you know, okay, super.
The way we solved that last year was we had the two downloadable Game of the Year categories. Loosely based on the price. It was basically $10 and under, and then $10 and over,
mm-hmm.
or $11 and over. Those games in between $10 and $11 were thrown out.
I don't think it's perfect necessarily.
It's not. We were trying to distinguish between the games that could have the production values versus the ones that couldn't. Because I can't throw, you know, a Mark of the Ninja against an Unepic, you know, like.
Right. And, but you also couldn't throw Mark of the Ninja against, you know, like Dishonored or something like that.
I might try to do that, but okay. But I know what you're getting at.
It's just not the same experience. But it's amazing. That's the thing. Like your expectations are completely different. And they're always going to be colored. Like you can't stop that from happening because you didn't pay. If you paid $60 and it was a box on a shelf, when we'd have a different conversation, but it's not. So you cannot, you just can't compare them.
We've also this year gotten more invested in 3DS. We've gotten more invested in handhelds than we have in the past. We have a mobile game of the year, but that has primarily been Android, iOS games. So I don't think that those fall in there. So where do the handheld games fit? Are they in the higher downloadable game category? And then we change the name of it because that's more of where they compete? Or do we want a handheld game of the year?
Can we? Well, okay, just thinking about us, like the staff, like who plays what? There's four of us that have 3DSs.
Which just some behind the scenes. Basically, we have our staff of 8 to 10 writers, and people will vote based on the categories that they have an experience in, we've kind of got a good gauge and high level of trust with where people are voting. But as long as we have four or five people that can vote in these categories, we're going to move forward with them. And so as long as we have 5 to 8 games that people have trusted opinions in the games, we're gonna throw that in there. But there are going to be some games that we didn't get to that we'll be honest about. But
sure, yeah, and we can't cover everything because it's not our 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
But we played enough 3DS between all of us, and you know, maybe there's some iOS stuff too that enough of you guys played. I didn't, but
yeah,
maybe
I
you guys
just,
did.
I still
we
don't
could
think,
cover some of that.
I still don't think a majority of those games overlap yet. I think the 3DS games have to be pulled out. My question is, do they compete with the mid-tier games, which are the downloadable?
Well, are we breaking out the 3DS games, like box games from eShop games, or are all those going to be in the same
eShop
category?
eShop games definitely fit in our downloadable categories, mm-hmm. but it's yeah. these boxed $30 to $50 handheld games that I don't quite know what to do with, because they would need their own category traditionally. They like all of these still get lumped into the overall game of the year, but this is also an attempt to bring more attention to the games that honestly we spend more time with overall. This will continue to be a struggle because there's no hard lines between this stuff. But
yeah.
you know, I could see basically coming up with three tiers and getting rid of the downloadable limit and just doing it. Like, you know, 10 bucks and below, 10 to 25, 25 to 50, I don't know.
It's either that or categories. I mean, if it could we do, like, okay, this might be easier if we actually had a list of all those indie games that we would care to consider for sure. these awards, but we may find that there are so many of them that are platformers that it's a indie platformer kind of award. Like, you know, when you get like a La Mulana and Spelunky and even Mark of the Ninja maybe, and like stuff like that, where you can kind of put all those in maybe like a certain kind of category. I don't know if that would work, but might be easier to do stuff like that. So, and we could maybe highlight two or three games that would, you know, the whole, you know, $5 to $20 or something like that. And you know, within two or three categories, there's nominations for all that stuff, which even if a game doesn't win, it doesn't mean we only highlighted two or three games. I mean, nomination is a nomination. I mean, that's something mm-hmm. that it's considered for an award is a pretty nice honor for, mm-hmm. you know, most places. And, you know, we do take this stuff serious. So like, that might be worthwhile to look at just the list and see how that breaks down. This is something everyone struggles with.
Sure. Yeah.
This isn't just us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone has this problem because there's so
and I have a
many
problem with
games
the way
coming out.
Everyone else does it. Actually, no. I have no idea how everybody's going to handle it this year. Like, I felt like the line continues to blur.
Yeah.
And,
it seems weird to just do it by dollar amount
yeah.
because that is so nebulous. Like, AAA shit. I mean, I could buy
it seems,
most wanted for $30 2 weeks after the thing fucking
this also
up.
This also grew from...
It doesn't count.
The ever-expanding definition of indie games. Because that was like, we wanted to basically have an indie game label and a smaller published game label. Like, that's what it was actually born from. And it just evolved into the downloadable.
Yeah.
So we can come back to that. I do want to throw out one category I did not include was DLC of the year. That's something that I don't think that we as gamers on our site have gotten too heavy into. I'm going to pose a question to the wider audience, but
yeah.
That's why I did not include it. There's more DLC than ever, but
every game has DLC, and so much there is less and less of it that is like expansion pack style.
Yeah.
And so much more like tiny, you know, it's hard to, but yeah, there is so much of it. It's almost like, well, we bought this map pack for this game and I bought this armor for this game and you bought some guns here. And like that doesn't combine for an overall, like an aggregate kind of, I don't think that works. For us, you're right. I'm agreeing with you roundabout way.
I just didn't know what that sounded like.
Best viewer award from the chat.
It'll be a tough one. Be a real close race.
We'll give you.
I think you have to buy that one.
We'll give you a horrible night shirt that I've already worn.
That's worth way more than a new one. It's got spit stains and everything.
All right. What do I think we can get rid of now that we've kind of talked through some of that stuff?
If I could, like, personally fashion a trophy to give out to best viewers, I would do it.
Let's go back to the new IP.
I don't have it.
Well, we have a steady sequel of the year, and I've said, what if I were to pick even a theme for this year, it'd be the the more sequels, the, you know, the expansion pack sequels that we've gotten this year. I feel like there's several games that fall into that category. But it was to separate the new traditional, like you said, we are kind of guessing if they're going to continue the franchise. But I still feel like with some of these games like Dishonored, that there's something to be said that you can launch an IP and it be successful. Cause that just, it seems it's a trend that I think we like to encourage. And
well, I mean, I don't know how you look at Dishonored, like you said, but then you have The Walking Dead as a new IP this year too, technically.
And that's going to have a second season. Dishonored's going to have a sequel.
Yeah. We have an idea of
Zombie U is going to have a sequel.
And the status of companies. Like, if THQ put something out this year, it's pretty easy. Like, it's going to be a pretty good bet to say, like, it's not going to get a sequel. You know? It's just, that's, you know, unless it was their top, unless it was Saints Row, it's true. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen there. But, like, Dishonored? Yeah, that sold well. Dragon's Dogma. Like, that's going to get, like, big DLC next year.
Got at least four.
I think Binary Domain's not going to get a sequel. Aww. But I think that was, like, really, that was a fun-ass game.
It'll get a spiritual sequel.
I bet we could find a 6th, 7th one. And
oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to write it down. We'll figure out what to name it. But I still think...
But boy, there are a lot of sequels in here.
I'm more worried about, like, we might have to go 25 categories, slot categories. Is Josh, let's see, best guns I can get behind. Best bros if I can get behind. NPC player you want to kill. I like those complimentary categories, honestly. Like,
what if you go
contradictory categories? Favorite,
what if you go opposite of that, like best NPC player? Is that best brosif?
Yeah, pretty much. Shit. Pretty much, yeah. Whoa, what is that thing?
It's with the cats.
Goal has tentacle dick. excuse me.
Big black kennel of dick.
Best game that won't get a sequel, that would be worst game that will. I like those. Best menu music. Awesome idea. I might have to... We might just stick with soundtrack.
Sure.
Best trucks. That might be might be an honorary award on Josh Lee's top list.
Yes, that is where that will appear.
We'll keep thinking on the trend. Best hype package. I think we can do something with that.
Yeah, because there were games I got really pumped for.
I don't know about this best hand grenades, but I see your point. You can also keep these in mind for your own list, Josh. So yeah, we're gonna every writer on the site's gonna have their own. I say top 10 list, but it'll be more, the theme of it will be more determined by the specific writer, because we have people that feel comfortable doing a top 10 list and people that may do the top games they've played this year that are from various decades, and then give out some honorary awards. So we'll kind of leave that stuff up in the air. You'll see those. If I can talk through the schedule a little bit, let me. We're still figuring out when we're going to do our live stream, but the live stream will most likely either be the 20th, 21st, or the 27th, 28th. One of those four dates. And we will be announcing the winners on that show. And then that will go live on the site right afterwards. But the week before that, the week of the 17th, next week, we'll start to feature our top 10 lists from all of our writers. And then we'll take a break for Christmas and then come back and do the announcements of the game of the year. You'll also start to see category. You'll start to see the nominations for the games coming your way the end of next week. Prior to the live recording where we reveal the winners. So we'll announce the nominees on the site and then announce the winners on the live podcast and then post those on the site before the end of the year. So I will probably at the end of this week, early next week, post that schedule, definitely before our next podcast on Super Gaming Best Friends next Tuesday. So, but we're still locking in schedules, making sure we have the as many people as we can involved. It's a coordinating event for sure, but Let's see. Heaviest drop. I don't know. although Skrillex did do a Syndicate theme song. So.
Borderlands 2 trailer is going to get it, though. That's not. That's almost true. Like that's, a bullshit award because it's all. It's not
that's
fair.
That's true. I wrote down most relationship. I know. I remember which one you're talking about.
Most realistic depiction of a human relationship.
Does it have to be human? Can it be human alien?
Humanoid.
Okay.
Josh and his truck.
Just, you know, it's my ongoing campaign for Garrus. So, assholiest physics.
Clementine, though, you know, like there's gonna be some contention for that one. I think.
No, I'd rather roll with Garrus than Clementine.
Well, God damn it! Obviously,
but yeah. But she might give
Master Chief and
she
Cortana.
Might give a better performance.
You know that sure Cortana. Okay.
All right.
For all the bullshit aside.
Wait. Best new character model.
I had the best digital butt on this already, and she was on the list.
No, but that's.
What about that chick in Far Cry 3 too? Boobs.
Oh man, Citra.
Is that her name, Cole? Is that her name?
Citra.
Boobs.
Citra.
I don't know
her name.
I don't play that game.
Citra is her name, and yes, she is. Yeah, but let me tell you, the brother's girlfriend in Far Cry 3 is she's the one.
She's Daisy. The one that you want.
Oh yeah, the whole time I was thinking,
who's man
it's
of the
time
year?
To move in.
Besides my shepherd, who's man?
Man of the year. Man, it's man of war, man time. Chesthair Ward.
Is there anybody in Binary Domain? Big Bo.
Big Bo is the dudest of dudes.
Mr. Dave's wife.
She's a lady.
Whoa.
Yeah, I like the
Voss.
The dude award.
Yeah, we've got
there are a lot of dudes.
New character, it's in there. Yeah, we've got new character. Do we want
and ladies?
We've got
too.
New character. We've got best bros of. Does that take care of, giving out some awards to some ongoing characters?
Sure.
Because
sure, yeah.
I mean, saw some good performances. But is that covered by Brosif, or do we have three?
Cortana could be in the Brosif Award. Like, it doesn't have to be a man, you know?
Well, yeah. But do we have three? So we have. I don't want to have three NPC awards.
No. But two is, maybe two is good.
All right.
But I do appreciate when a game actually has a realistic, a relationship. It doesn't, not even necessarily romance, but sometimes they do that well. Or well enough, you know. There are those times when I'm playing a game and I get closer to an emotional response I would get watching a film. Out of, you know, where I'm like, I really give a shit about what happens to these people.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I'm sure somebody would make a case for like your the guys you've got in XCOM or something like, you know, somebody did could.
Did you see the Facebook app?
What? No.
They released an official memorial wall Facebook page where you can dedicate a message to your fallen XCOM soldiers.
That's insane.
Yeah. We were going to post it today, but it was way too serious.
What?
Yeah. I'm just waiting out your facial expression. Sprinkler. Yeah. So, best XCOM squad? Is that no word?
No.
Best made-up character by Ethan Moses? Best use of Chainsaw Murphy? I want to rework that Respawn game title. Best handheld game. So, let's see. Indie Developer of the Year, Mobile Game of the Year, Handheld Game of the Year, and then two distinctions of Downloadable Game. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But that's the safest way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the downside to having some extra awards? Like, you... it's not like it's going to be that much more work for us because we already have our opinions mm-hmm. on all these. So, you know, there's a little bit of deliberation or whatever, some voting, but some of these are going to be obvious ones, I think, because I think our opinions will kind of line up for a lot of ways. And then there's so many good games on the list, and, you know, more of them get highlighted. That sounds good to me. And they can go put them, you know, maybe we'll end up on a Game of the Year box.
We have Indie Developer of the Year. Do you want to go larger?
That's tough, man, because, like, developers don't put out that many games. Unless you're Double Fine, like, who's this, you know, some super studio, which isn't even fair.
Well, it would just be individual guys like Phil Fish and then the guy who did Dust and then...
I know, but what... Okay, that's a different thing. Like that, I could understand because like something like Dust, as like you could say,
but that's indie. That's indie developer.
The lone wolf guy. Like, what happens when
Do we want? Do we want to give Do we want to give something to Firaxis for pulling off XCOM? Like,
it seems like a little too arbitrary, almost. Like,
okay, just throwing it out there because we've got.
What do you think about something where like the one man development teams?
Well, we've got Indie Developer for that.
I'm talking about flying solo, which is a totally different thing.
You want no one to
bounce off of.
You want
any
solo
ideas.
Versus team? You want if we go, we should go the other way?
Maybe. You tell me.
Indie Studio of the Year and Indie Developer of the Year.
And the
yeah, I could definitely be sold on the solo. Solo dev. I like it.
The Robinson Crusoe Developer Award. I don't know. Something.
Oh. Keep it going.
Man, it's good stuff.
I think that's a pretty full list. Let's check in on chat. Chat has anything else. Oh. Whoa. Where do games like War Z, like maybe that might be more of my trend, like these open world survival games, might be a memorable trend of 2012. But
War Z and then DayZ.
I guess that's kind of where I was getting at with separating out the free to play games. We haven't really talked through that yet. Like,
well, the list isn't big.
I want to cut off at the bottom, like as far as like yeah, technically, you know, just. Free to play Facebook games. There's like that type of shit.
It's okay. So when you say free to play to me, mm-hmm. right now I think of games that went free to play that it didn't used to be, which is almost an award in itself. But that's almost that you shouldn't reward somebody for realizing their
failing.
Their model sucked and they needed to get with the times. But PlanetSide 2, that is good enough to compete in. But a bunch of other categories. It doesn't need to have its own little special thing. Because that will be, to me, you're going to have a hard time convincing me that's not like the multiplayer game of the year or something. Like, that's
true.
You know, or like the best looking game of the year. Like, there's the shit like that.
We don't have anything like that.
Oh, we don't, yeah.
But.
The Make Your Eyeballs Explode Out the Back of Your Head Award.
Makes me want to upgrade my PC award.
Yes, that's it.
That's a good name.
That's yeah, also because a there trend. Aren't because let's
or
and I'm
switch
not,
to PC gaming.
And I'm not trying to trash them, but like no console games are going to win that award most likely. Although visual design in a game like Journey would be there.
I want to say we had that, or maybe we couldn't make that distinction because we were going like with stylistic game or like best graphics. We had a good
to me.
Game.
To me, that's two different things because you can have
game.
Like you know, like I thought for a while, like when World of Warcraft came out, I thought, you know what, the guys making those environments are the most talented artists like in the industry. In the day, they had the best looking shit, and it ran on netbooks, and that was just so impressive to me. But when you get in a game like Far Cry 3, and you have it on ultra settings on a computer. You will just shit your pants.
Award.
Yes. Yeah. You will shit your eyes.
I could have sworn
you'll
we
poo
had.
Poo from the eyes. It looks so good. It's so just mind blowing.
We must have talked ourselves out of a best looking game of the year. One thing we did in 2010 that we did not do in 2011 was we had an other games category. And I just want to...
other games?
Yeah. Here's the description of the other games category for 2010. Yep. And the other games are Kirby's Epic Yarn, Darksiders, Stalker, Amnesia, and Monday Night Combat.
What the hell did we do?
Should we bring back other games? I think these were just games that we played a lot that we couldn't find an award for, I think, was...
Well, that's how I came up with, like, best game that's best game called Binary Domain. Because I love those... I fucking love that game, but it is not, by any standard, like, an achievement. So, how do you... how do you profess your love for something... That is really by no metric a good game. Like I don't. How do you do that? Dragon's Dogma is almost in that category. Although I think it actually does some things like really well. But that's one of those games that is so much greater than the sum. You know.
I think as sure as Wrath would probably be there if we played that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's in there.
That entire game.
That's in there too. And a Lollipop Chainsaw games, right? Wouldn't win, probably, but it's also in there as well, I think.
Best game you want to watch? That's kind of become a theme with more than one of our writers.
That's true.
Most watchable game? Or game I want to watch, I don't want to play it? Like,
yeah.
Like Zombie U?
What the fuck is wrong with you two?
No, I'm going to play it. I just watched Josh screaming his way through that... Game Curious.
Yeah, I had some people tell me after the fact like that I didn't even watch her stuff saying things about it. And no. Like, oh, that was the best. I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, I thought
or Spelunky. I wouldn't want to watch Spelunky or play Spelunky.
There is
watch the shit out of that.
That game.
That's a special award for Josh. The best YouTube comment so far in the Zombie U video was, what did you expect to happen with that landmine?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Everything I knew about how landmines worked.
All right, chat, this is your final opportunity to throw some more categories before we take this list offline. And oh, wait, Josh.
Whoa.
While you're thinking about
it, we have yet to name a category that highlights satisfying violence. Like
Slenderman.
Like shotgun to the face, or I guess stabby kind of covers that.
If I that's support a shotty to the face.
You didn't say that again, so I wondered if you didn't put that down. But
satisfying violence, all right.
Like, because I just looked on the list and I saw Hotline Miami, and then I see Hitman.
That might be the spirit of the BFG award.
Dishonored.
The BFG award might. That's our overachievement award, but that's kind of the general. It's not a great game, but like this is where we nominate like 50 Cent Blood in the Sand, like. These
like, but what like, there's a moment in certain games where when you unload a 12 gauge into a dude's face
in those moments.
Well, I get like my teeth get like I grip my teeth and I'm like, and I get like really there's this primal climaxing. Kind of urge. No, it's a different place. It comes from a deeper place.
Primal
than that.
Rage Award.
Oh man, yeah. It's the Dark Side of Humanity award because there's this part of me that like would only exist in the apocalypse, like in a dog eat dog world, like where I would just completely forget my morals, guilt and regret, remorse, all that shit just goes out the window, and I just start shooting motherfuckers in the face. And there are games that put me in that mode. And I would never do that in real life. I'm a pacifist.
Like, I can hyphenate all that. That's really... it's going to, like, really screw up our page design, but...
But yeah, there are times where you just... when you blast
for now,
somebody,
it's
so satisfying. So satisfying. And it's like... It's relief, really.
Horror... Neil Marr brought up Slender Man, but any horror related awards?
Gosh, I didn't play a lot of
jump scare best
like horror games though this year.
Best holy
like.
Shit, you scared me awards.
What am I missing? Name some horror games so I
do we play?
Like refresh my memory because I played Downpour, which I actually really liked.
Did we play?
I played the
Mother's
Slender
Inferno
Man.
This year.
Yeah, that was this year. So Mother's Inferno, I played the Slender Man game where you're picking up the pages in the woods.
There's like multiple Slender Man games, right? Like,
Dear Esther is almost a yeah. There are multiple ones, but that was like
it's the so one. Much that it's not.
That was the one getting a sequel too. Yeah. That one I'm talking about.
But, dang it, you're right. 2011 was probably Mother's Inferno. We played.
We played it this year. So, but yeah, you're okay. So if it came out last year. I mean, The Walking Dead is kind of horror, kind of.
And that's
FTL is a fucking horror game. Holy shit.
You can throw a lot of roguelikes into that category.
Well, just saying.
That's I was going to say, Spelunky's a horror game for you.
Oh!
Close
that's,
gone.
That's like The Descent, like, for me. Have you ever seen that movie? It's one of my favorite horror
Oh, yeah, films. I've seen that movie. I thought you were about...
People go down in the cave.
Like, I answered the question because I thought you were saying, have you played that game? And the answer was
hey,
no.
Hey, there's
the
a
movie.
Yes. 6DOF game, Minor Wars. Play mm-hmm. that? That looks good. We should check that out. So, yeah, The Secret World's got some horror elements.
I think we'll find something.
It's my most disappointing MMO award. But also the best blowjob. The best Tom Selleck blowjob award goes to Secret World.
Okay, I wrote it down.
No, I watched you. You didn't. I saw you.
Who was that?
What's Gray? Gray? I don't know what that is.
Sounds interesting.
Educate me.
Those spiders. Yeah, we'll do something with horror.
Grimrock, Legend of Grimrock had spiders in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
Yeah, well, looks like we're going to check out Gray. Yeah, I think it's going to do it for our nomination show. Just
fruitful.
ForHorribleNight.com updates. Again, I'll just kind of recap our plans, our loose plans right now for our Game of the Year discussion. Look for Game of the Year list to start popping up on the site next week, the week is December 17th. Then we will have a live show announcement here soon. We will be doing a live show to announce the winners of our Grimmies. But prior to that show, we will release the nominations for those awards in the categories we've chosen on the site. So, and then we'll be doing a live show on Twitch TV to celebrate our announcement. It will not be on a Tuesday. Because both Tuesdays that close out the year are holidays. So these will be a Thursday or a Friday night show, depending on how our schedules work out, and we will be announcing that as soon as we can on the site. So we're rounding up the troops and
Can we expect bow ties?
Probably yes.
Cole, do you have a bow tie? Did you
have a tuxedo t-shirt?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Tuxedo.
You just can wear that.
Oh, and now for anybody who's interested, they have a green tuxedo t-shirt available, Million Dollar Man.
Oh. So,
Josh, you should probably get one of those. I got the black. I don't know if I'm going to get the green one.
Send me the link.
Do all of those shirts have a price? That's going to do it.
Everything's got a price.
Everything has a price, Justin.
Everyone's got to pay.
That's going to do it for The Horrible Show. For Josh Lee, Cole Monroe, and...
You don't speak for me.
The ghost of Ethan Moses. Yeah, I'm Justin Lacey. Thanks for joining us tonight. We will see you again when we announce the winners of our 2012 Grimmies.
Oh, I was playing Red Alert. I couldn't make it.
I'm underage in Germany. I can't get online.
Yeah.